Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
There was another dip in the price of Bitcoin again, and people love to try to point fingers. What's that?
Point their fingers.
Yeah, they love to try to figure out why Bitcoin does what it does. And I'm not one of those who believes that, you can necessarily connect this one world event or this one news item to why the price of Bitcoin went down, because I think Bitcoin's bigger than any one given thing. But some people will swear up and down that if a government does a thing, like in this case China banning cryptocurrency again, that's somehow going to have an effect on the price. And the fact is, you know, even if it did have an effect on the price for like, you know, a minute, it's gone back up within the same day.
Is it? So, what, do you guys know what that's currently?
Yeah, I pulled up the Bitcoin ticker widget here. It is, which is a nice little app for Android. 43,000, just under 43,000.
Okay.
What did it go down to?
It went down to.
I thought
40,
it was that much lower than that.
Around 40,000.
Yeah, it sounds like maybe a low point. Yeah. I never saw it that low, but I did see it at like 42, yeah. 41 maybe.
So I think Bitcoin is way stronger than whatever. Any government of the world, no matter how influential, how big and tough they are, China, United States, Bitcoin's bigger than
them. So, you know, I think the other problem is that it doesn't even matter what it's at, right? I mean, it's just, it's kind of arbitrary. I have a lot of experience with dealing with customers overseas as well as businesses overseas. And I've only on a couple of occasions been asked to interact in something that wasn't the US dollar. And that's mostly been the British pound. Mm-hmm. So if I deal with China, they don't want euros. They don't want mm-hmm. yen. They want dollars. Mm-hmm. And the same thing applies if I'm dealing with a customer in Europe. They still want dollars.
Crazy.
And they expect to pay you in dollars. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of a sad and unfortunate kind of situation.
Yeah.
And it kind of really shows you who's in charge around the world too, in some respect.
Yeah, it is unfortunate, and maybe that's going to change at some point here as cryptocurrency becomes more prolific, as more people get into it. Of course, governments around the planet, like the Chinese government, are doing everything they can to put a stop to cryptocurrency. And of course, it's worth pointing out the Chinese government is also in the process of, and I believe in the, like, it's happening, they're launching their own so-called central bank digital currency. So they are digitizing the renminbi or the yuan. I think it has two different names depending on the circumstances it's used. But they're in that process, and they're like I think they're probably the furthest along of any country on the planet. I believe that you are going to continue to see in the quote unquote more free nations of the world, you will continue to see cryptocurrency be legal. That doesn't mean they're not going to crack down on the centralized exchanges. That doesn't mean they're not going to go around and shake their saber and bust in your door if you're, you know.
What they're going to do is give us lip service saying it's legal and then have rules and regulations that are impossible to comply with so that they can go and arbitrarily scare, you know.
And arrest people.
Scare people and arrest people. Well, but they're only going to do it. They're only going to really be able to do it, you know, here and there. I mean, mm-hmm. we're talking about the federal government that has the biggest issue with it. And the federal government, if you look at the numbers, they don't have that many people. There's only so many people they can go after. And
sure.
It's the state governments that have the most number of people in prison. And arrest the most number of people, and so if the federal government really wants to crack down, they're going to have to either start going after cases with less rigor, or mm-hmm. they're going to have to hire a lot more law enforcement agents.
Yeah, and I think that what you're seeing here is what's going on now, and that is targeting specific individuals to quote unquote send a message, like they
yep.
did with Ross Ulbricht. Back in 2013 for running the underground marketplace, Silk Road, which really brought a lot of attention to Bitcoin. I know for me, that was the moment that I kind of realized that, wow, this is really a thing. Like, you can do things with this.
There's not a day that goes by without a story about the federal government doing something when it comes to cryptocurrency and attacking it. China declares all cryptocurrency transactions illegal. It's an interesting choice of words. So they're not saying Bitcoin's illegal, but if you have it, you can't spend it. You can't accept it. You can't you can't do any kind of transactions with it. China's central bank has announced that all transactions of cryptocurrencies are illegal, effectively banning digital tokens such as Bitcoin.
Wow.
Interesting choice of words to tokens. Virtual currency-related business activities are illegal financial activities, the People's Bank of China said, warning it seriously endangers the safety of the people's assets.
I love this terminology. It's much like how the U.S. government uses the term public a lot, and they act like when they say public, they're talking about you, but they're not. They're really talking about themselves. Whenever you hear government agents use the term public, just insert the word government, and it always really reveals what they're actually saying. Same thing's true of China. Instead of saying the government's assets, they're saying the people's assets.
It's a very social word, socialized.
No, it's not the people. The people in China want to use cryptocurrency. Government gang doesn't want them to. I remember there was one about China banning cryptocurrency mining. So the miners, which China was a huge location for cryptocurrency mining. The power is cheap in some parts of China, and it's a way for it's a way for people to make a good living if you know what you're doing. And so people were doing that big time, and then China said, nope, we're not going to have that here, and they cracked down on cryptocurrency mining. So, of course, the miners went to wherever else in the world they could find the cheap power.
And there's proof they don't care about the people's assets.
No, and they brought their jobs, whatever jobs they had, because, you don't just set up, if you've got a mining operation, you don't just set it and forget it. You got to have people there that, if it's a big operation, you got to have, engineers on site. Hardware is going to crash. Things are going to go down. I mean, most of it's going to work most of the time, but every now and then some machine's going to go down and you got to get in there and swap out parts. And so most of these mining operations, they got somebody there 24 hours a day, these serious ones. And so those jobs went somewhere else. China then said, oh, well, no, you're not allowed to have cryptocurrency exchanges in the country, if I recall correctly, and banned also businesses from taking crypto transactions. And now they're saying anybody that does a crypto transaction is prohibited.
Side note, did you see that Peterborough just took money out of their back pocket, I guess, to pay themselves back for apparent cryptocurrency scam that
didn't they get ransomware or something
Yeah, they did.
A little town in New Hampshire, by the way. It was Peterborough.
This is a funny thing. In that story, I have that story, but it's a crazy story because they're effectively blaming, they want to blame the Bitcoin. They want to kind of blame and it's humorous because it's not even really a Bitcoin. It was the banks. It was the traditional banks where they got scammed. It was converted later into cryptocurrency, but none of that would have been possible without them first being scammed and gone. Yeah. So basically, the story was about wiring money. So
it wasn't a crypto ransomware.
No, it really wasn't actual crypto ransomware. No. He explained this before on the show.
So it basically what they did was they got people. They basically, as I actually read a more detailed story, basically what they did was they monitored the emails of certain individuals.
Who did the hackers?
The hackers. Okay. They monitored the scammers. I'll use the word scammers. Because that's more appropriate.
Yeah.
But the scammers basically got into the systems, certain emails, and they waited and they paid attention to what wire transfers had to be done. But Friday's announcement is the clearest indication yet that China wants to shut down cryptocurrency trading in all its forms. Mm. It sounds like it's more than just trading, though, because they already did that.
They said that it was anyone that transacts, right?
Anybody who does any kind of transaction. So if you buy something or sell something, you can't use crypto. The statement makes it clear that those who are involved in illegal financial activities are committing a crime and will be prosecuted.
And now, just having and giving somebody cryptocurrency or buying something with cryptocurrency in China is a crime, according to them.
If you accept cryptocurrency, if you publicize that on your website or in your business, you're committing a crime, it sounds like.
Yeah.
And foreign websites providing such services to Chinese citizens online is also an illegal activity, it said, suggesting that they're going to crack down on end users as opposed to exchanges, because presumably they don't have any ability to go after the exchanges outside of China. It's not, it's funny. I don't know if it's funny is maybe not quite the right word, but it's interesting to note that it's not China's not the United States. China doesn't have the power or wield the same amount of power that the United States does around the world. The U.S. government may be able to go after, crypto exchanges in other countries, but China doesn't have that power. They don't have the same amount of power to do that.
most business owners don't want to go to prison for what they're doing.
Sure.
Now, there's one exception here in town, and she deserves mention, special mention. Her name's Malaise. She runs a little pho noodle place called Pho Keen. Great. You were just there having dinner tonight. And actually, there was like a crypto meetup there, from what I understand. Very well attended. Lots of new movers to the area.
I guess she's not technically on Main Street, huh?
It's Central Square.
It's Central Square, but it's not technically Main Street.
Whatever, man.
well, you're now bringing up an example where you have somebody that is defying what government is telling her to do.
Yeah,
so
the reason
it's
I'm bringing
kind of humorous
up,
to do that after saying that nobody on Main Street.
No, the reason I'm doing it is because she wasn't risking prison for that. She was risking getting a fine from the government, and, you know, okay, if you don't pay the fine, then maybe they'll sit you off a few days in jail, you know, if you don't pay the fine or whatever.
Sure.
Turns out in New Hampshire they're actually refunding fines they've issued. It's the only state out of the 50 states where they're refunding fines.
New Jersey, though, was imprisoning people who business owners who resisted.
New Jersey's still going after those gym owners.
But you know what? It's interesting to point out, though, that there are business owners that have resisted in New Jersey who did face a prison sentence. So I don't know.
It's like 1% of 1%, though.
It's very small. Don't get me wrong.
But those guys from that gym, Attila's Gym in Belmar, New Jersey, deserve all the credit.
Hey, Daily Digest listeners. This is Riley Blake. I enjoy Free Talk Live, and I know you do too, but finding time to listen to an entire episode isn't always easy. So I produce the Daily Digest. I appreciate those of you who have supported me on Patreon and sent Bitcoin to me to thank me for producing these digests. For those who wish to support me on Patreon, visit patreon.com/crblake86. If you wish to send Bitcoin, visit patreon.com/crblake86 for those details. That's patreon.com/crblake86. Thank you.
For all of those who are going to continue to use cryptocurrency in China, if they want to cash out, you know, you can't just go on to an exchange. You can't just go to local Bitcoins. You can't do anything like that. You have to find a black market dealer now who is willing to take your cryptocurrency from you and give you fiat currency in return. And that means you're going to pay black market prices. You may pay 20% to get in and or out of cryptocurrency, because sometimes you'll pay up to 10% just in the normal free market of cryptocurrency, depending on the convenience factor and other factors. So you're going to see black market people, you know, making bank now in China because of this.
I think it's kind of funny that you use the word free market, because I'm thinking, where are we talking about? Because I don't know that we have a free market in the United States, if that's what you're referencing.
Well, no, obviously we don't have a free market in the United States, but as far as cryptocurrency,
freer maybe.
As far as cryptocurrency is concerned, there's still not a lot of controls on it. I mean, yeah, the centralized institutions, they're being controlled, they're being regulated.
Yeah.
But
which certainly makes it more difficult for anybody who wants to sell cryptocurrency.
It does make it more difficult, but you can still go on to any chat forum or whatever and say, you know, like here in New Hampshire, we've got chat rooms with dozens and dozens, if not over 100 people. I have not been in this chat room, and like there's one in this area, which
I think the one
when I went to jail was like 100 people strong.
Yeah, I think just the Monadnock room, I think, has 100 over 100 people now.
According to CNBC.com, I don't know if you heard about this one, Chris, but the Federal Reserve Chairman, his name is Jerome Powell, and a bunch of other Fed officials, turns out they owned securities that the central bank purchased during the COVID pandemic. So there's like this scandal now with the Federal Reserve, where people connected with the Federal Reserve had the Federal Reserve buy a specific type of security during COVID, push up the price of that security or whatever, push up the value of that security, and they themselves were holding it. According to the story here, amid an outcry about Federal Reserve officials owning and trading individual securities, an in-depth look by CNBC at officials' financial disclosures found three of them who last year held assets of the very same type the Fed itself was buying, including its chairman, Jerome Powell. None of these holdings or transactions appeared to violate the Fed's code of conduct, but they raise further questions about their conflict of interest policies and the oversight of central bank officials. Powell himself held between $1.25 million and $2.5 million of municipal bonds. They were just a small portion of his total reported assets. While the bonds were purchased before 2019, they were held while the Fed last year bought more than $5 billion in municipal bonds, including one from the state of Illinois purchased by his family trust in 2016.
You guys were talking about the cryptocurrency, Chinese crackdown, and everything like that.
Yes, sir.
But when you get into it, don't you think that a certain portion of your audience kind of their eyes roll in the back of their head because they don't quite grasp the concept of cryptocurrency in the first place? And then, you know, when you got the Chinese government cracking down on those who do understand the concept of cryptocurrency, that's going to serve as a model for other authoritarianism governments to go ahead and put their model of governance over cryptocurrency. So it's like,
you're saying we shouldn't talk about it because people don't understand it?
Well, let me answer the first question.
I think you should talk about it, but it's like a good show, but that's as soon as the government gets a grapple on and can control it and tax it.
Okay, so here's the concept. And I'm glad you called with this question because, you know, when we talk about these issues, we don't go over all the basics every single time because it would get pretty repetitive. But, you know, it's always important for people to, to engage in a conversation and say, hey, look, wait, I don't get this. Why can the government do these things or not do these things? So one of the things that you need to know is the government cannot get a hold on or a handle on cryptocurrency. And that's why they hate it. You also have governments like El Salvador, which has actually made Bitcoin legal tender within the last several weeks. It was earlier this month that one officially into play in El Salvador, which is going to, you know, for those El Salvadorans who decide to participate, it could make them the wealthiest country on the planet if they play their cards right in this whole situation. And then you've got these sort of the middling, you know, countries that are like, okay, they're not total authoritarian hellscapes yet. You know, the United States is bad, but it's still better than China. And so here they're probably not going to be able to prohibit cryptocurrency due to likely, at the very minimum, free speech laws. So, you know, it's not going to be a global phenomenon what China's doing. It's going to be the worst of the worst places that outlaw crypto, and their people will be worse off for it, and it's tragic.
Final issue I want to bring up real quick before I disappear into the ether. Bushism versus Trumpism. The fate of the Republican Party. I want to bring it up because it's crazy.
CNBC has revealed that these Federal Reserve executives were involved in some, you know, nasty behavior. Now, they were caught and they were outed, but according to the federal ethics rules, they didn't violate the rules technically. That said, one of them announced he would sell his individual positions and he'll stop trading while he's president. The other man, Robert Kaplan, who traded millions of dollars of individual stocks, also said he would no longer trade and would sell his individual positions.
But still get to be in charge of stuff like, you know,
he
all
got
our
caught.
Money.
He got caught, but he says he didn't do anything wrong. But that said, he's going to go ahead and stop doing what he was doing, even though it wasn't wrong.
Could you just imagine if you got up on the stand and, you know, that was your defense? You know, it's like, oh, I'll just stop stealing from people, or you know, or I'll just stop murdering people, and you know, and then you can let me go now. Like, that'll never fly.
A spokesman for Rosengren, and that is the Boston Fed president. This is the one that had about $800,000 or upwards of $800,000 worth of real estate investment trusts that owned mortgage-backed securities, which the Federal Reserve purchased $700 billion of mortgage-backed securities last year. That person said he would sell his individual positions and he'd stop trading while he's the president of the Federal Reserve. You know, the value of the dollar is constantly going down, as are the value of the Canadian dollar and the Australian dollar and the Mexican peso and the, you know, the Japanese yen. And you name it. If it's a central bank currency, they are inflating the hell out of it, and it's a race to the bottom. And no mainstream media is talking about that.
And it's even worse. It's even worse than it seems like on its face, because there's – I mean, we had tariffs. We had 25% tariffs now that people aren't conscious of, which is about 13% price increase. That was before that, like – this mm-hmm. inflation really started, right, more recently. So it was already bad, and it's only getting worse, much worse.
The tariffs were on electronics, right, that you're talking about?
They weren't exclusive to electronics, but electronics was one of the things that were targeted, yeah. So it's about 13% if you look at Walmart, across the products at Walmart.
13% price increase on electronics at Walmart.
If you take into account stuff that did not have the 25% tariff with the stuff that did, then it's about 13%.
Yeah, and are those tariffs still in place, or were they?
Yes, they're
changed?
Still in place. Trump actually got rid of them when he left, and then Biden brought them right back.
Wow.
Just a real quick search for inflation on a news search. Costco, Nike, and FedEx are warning there's more inflation set to hit consumers as holidays approach. I had you guys guess during the break on the question here, the story from CNBC about the cost to ship. This is a story about inflation. The cost to ship containers, those 40-foot-long shipping containers that they put on, you know, barges or whatever, big ships, and move products all around the planet. From Shanghai to New York, a 40-foot container used to cost $2,000 to ship a year and a half ago. Now, and you guys, Chris, you'd guess 2X on the price. Bonnie, you'd guess $5,000, so a little more than 2X.
Yeah, I mean... I have a hard time gauging this because I don't ship containers like that. I get like pellets of stuff. So I share a container sort of.
Yeah.
More, so I don't know what the price of the whole container is. But I do know that the shipping price is doubled. They probably have done even more than that. But,
8X. It's now $16,000 to ship a shipping container from New York or from Shanghai to New York.
And not 2 years ago, 18 months ago, it was $2,000.
Definitely more than I would have guessed. My other problem is that the prices have kind of fluctuated a little bit too. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of hard to like tell, like, and it's like, are we talking about from 3 years ago before COVID, or are we talking about from like
before
a year
COVID.
Ago? Right,
we're talking about 18 months ago. So there's a huge problem with people looking for, you know, like with jobs. There's a ton of them available, and people aren't taking these positions for whatever reason. Even though supposedly a lot of the unemployment benefits have dried up at this point, it's still a big question mark as to why people are still not going back to work. Is it just because they're that afraid of COVID? Is that the reason? And if so, how are they paying the bills? Is everybody on government welfare somehow, even though there's not as much being handed out? So we still have yet to figure out
if you have kids, you're getting like $100 a kid or
$150 a kid. Wasn't it $300 a month or something like that for kids? Anyway.
I don't even know. I can't even ask anybody, like, because everybody I know is working.
Well, somebody we know that has two kids said the other day, oh, it's that $300 a month for our kids. So I don't know if she meant each kid or $150 for
her.
Yeah,
she wasn't clear on that.
I mean, but is that really going to be enough for somebody to live comfortably on? Like, you would think you would still want to go back to work, but maybe
if you're at home with your parents or something like that. I don't know.
I don't know.
A lot of people have moved back home, obviously.
I wonder if it's like maybe, you know, I don't know, people going to school, maybe they're not allowed to work or something. Like, I'm thinking like maybe college students.
That doesn't make sense. College students they work.
Abortion and the non-aggression principles, could you please elaborate on how it's not an aggression against an unborn child from a libertarian perspective?
I can't speak for all libertarians, but I would say that you're not harming another living person because nobody can prove that that's like a life that can live outside of the body by itself.
I think it's important to point out here that libertarians disagree pretty vehemently on this particular issue, and one of the main reasons is because not everyone agrees when a life is a life or when, you know, the fetus becomes a human or, you know, however you want to describe it. But I think one thing that libertarians or at least should agree on is, you know, because we're never going to agree. Like, there's always going to be differing people and differing, you know, opinions, scientific or religious or whatever, that have differing opinions about when a human is a human. And so putting that aside for a moment, I think most libertarians would agree that even if they think that it's killing an innocent life, that they still don't think that the government should get involved because government prohibitions make everything worse.
Yeah, I think I would add to that a little bit. So it's not even I might not be a fan of abortion, but that doesn't necessarily mean that I have the right to impose my will on another person. And the other aspect of it that gets complicated is if you're going to say you can't have an abortion, you're going to have to use violence to stop somebody else, you know, from basically having control over their own body.
I am looking at the website of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, her official congressional website.
Okay.
And on the page where it says how to contact her, there's a note very similar to what I see on a number of different members' websites. Quote, please note that it's a federal crime to threaten the life of a member or staffer. And if callers make threats, either on the phone or on a voicemail, they will be prosecuted. Unquote.
Yeah, it's happened. There was somebody that happened to in Colorado that was he was an auditor, you know, like a First Amendment auditor, mm-hmm. and he called some politicians and maybe he was a judge and was threatening them, and yeah, he got...
Was he threatening them, or is that just what they said?
Yeah.
Yeah, they lie about that stuff a lot of times.
He was.
No.
Oh, he
no,
was.
I was thinking, though, what they need to do is add a little note, you know? I mean, if you get people that furious, why not try to reason with them just a little bit and say, besides, what would be the point anyway? After all, members of Congress are only babbling and scribbling. One of them makes a motion to amend a motion, and another one signs an autograph on a document.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought
law enforcement goons are the ones that are actually committing all the violence. So if you got thrown in prison for drugs, for example, you can blame law enforcement goons.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.